on, Ruth, do an impression.
No.
Why not?
I don't wanna.
Why?
I'm shy.
Hello, lovely listeners.
Hello.
Welcome to another episode of Not Just Tentacles, where I, Rachel, attempt to demystify anime.
And I, Ruth, stay permanently mystified. What's going on today, Rachel?
Well, generally speaking, it's bank holiday and it's pissing down, so we're kind of sheltering and thought we might as well record something.
We're not just sheltering, are we? We were just bored off our tits.
Yeah, very much so. But more specifically, we are going to be talking about Shy, the battle shonen.
Battleship. Is that where it's just fight, 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 fight,
well,
fight?
Well, normally fight, fight. It would be, but this is a bit more psychological stroke emotional than, say, Dragon Ball Z and the other ones like that.
Ooh. Didn't they say they were going to make a theme park out of Dragon Ball Z?
Yeah, I've actually seen pictures of it, the roller coaster. It looks really cool.
Speaking of roller coasters.
Yes, exactly. So, Shy, basically, it's set in a world that's about maybe 20 or so minutes into the future.
20 minutes? What would be the point of going just 20 minutes into the future?
Not literally. It's not like after we finish recording this, we're going to go and get a kebab or anything like that.
You see, I really want a kebab now.
So it just means that it's around now, but with slightly better technology.
Okay, so you're what, like 10, 20 years?
Yeah, so what happened was World War III nearly broke out, but luckily for them... Yeah.
Topical.
Unlike us, yeah. Luckily for them, they had all these spandex-clad superheroes appearing.
You mean Instagram instructors for gym and aerobics?
Quite possibly. But these were superheroes, and each country gets its own superhero. And the main...
What would a British one look like?
Well, in this case, it looks like David Bowie. Oh. That seems to be their template for every handsome British man. But anyway, so the... Right, I will wait for Ruth to finish chuckling.
Are we talking 80s Bowie as standard?
Yeah. He is even called Stardust. Davy Jones and his superhero name is Stardust.
Seriously?
They are not even being subtle about their inspiration.
Duncan Jones, you need to protect your dad's image there.
So our heroine is Teru, who has recently suffered...
Sorry, I heard that as Temu. At which point does that mean she's really, really cheap?
No.
Oh, okay.
So she is a teenage girl who's recently suffered a family tragedy, which has made her...
What's the family tragedy?
Her sister's died. So she's become...
Natural causes or revenge?
No. Just normal causes. Aww. And she's... that's just made her even more introverted, even quieter, and suitably considering her superhero name, even shyer. And it all kicks off when there is an accident on a roller coaster, and she is told by this really cute girl that she takes an immediate liking to on the roller coaster, save everybody, including my little brother, but leave...
Sorry. I'm just thinking of that song from the 90s, Love is a Roller Coaster.
Oh, no.
Just gotta ride it.
No, not Ronan Keating. That was just so embarrassing. Yeah, but anyhow, it goes wrong. The girl gets badly injured.
Oh, dear.
Shy is just...
Does she make it, though?
Yeah, she's fine. She just ends up injured. Shy is kicking herself and loses her powers temporarily. I mean, luckily, her robot psychic, Shrimpy San, tells her, look, it's because he looks like a shrimp, okay?
Hang on, is that a peeled shrimp? Or with the shell on and
he is blue with big eyes and antenna and whatever shrimp have, and all of the superheroes have these little robot butler shrimps. Anyhow,
Is he just on dry land? So you've got being followed by a giant prawn.
He just floats about.
What, floating in midair?
He can open portals in and out of various places.
It looks like something that would look like something out of an advert for air freshener. You know how they have a dog floating in midair?
So she is just absolutely distraught. People are bitching about her on social media. She temporarily loses her powers. It's not funny.
I can't help giggling at Shrimpy Sam.
But several things happen in short succession. So it turns out that Aiko, the girl, is the new transfer student at her school.
Does that mean that she's swapped courses? Because we don't really get transfer students. Normally, in the UK, you're a transfer student if your parents have divorced and you've moved across the country, or if you're an army brat, or you shagged a teacher.
That or sort of you're pregnant and you moved school so nobody knew who
pregnant
you were.
Pregnant by a teacher.
Yeah. But either way, no. Or in, well, in Japanese stuff, it's more likely that you did the Battle Royale and then you moved to your new school and you do the Battle Royale again.
And you're like, oh, can I not do the Battle Royale? I've got my period.
Oh, just not good. But anyway, so Teru, as you can imagine, is just like, ah! But the girl...
That's your noise for, fuck me, I'm in danger.
Yeah, it's like, oh my God, I could be found out by this girl. But fortunately, well, not fortunately, she manages to save her from Stigma, who is our big bad. So Stigma is this really kind of unsettling kid. I mean, it looks like a kid, and he basically wants to create a world with no adults in it. So
hang on,
he
there.
And his psychics
wait,
are all
wait,
children.
Wait,
yeah.
Chitty, wait. He wants to have a world where there are no adults.
Yes, that's right.
And just kids.
Yes.
Kids turn into adults.
Well, I guess he must cull them like Peter Pan does with the Lost Boys.
Spoiler!
Yeah, just in case you ever thought about reading Peter Pan.
How does Peter Pan kill them? Does he just feed them to the alligator?
I think he just
drops them.
Yeah.
While they're flying.
Drops them, murders them. I've no idea. I didn't really dwell too much on that.
That is so fucking dark.
Yeah, incredibly dark. Anyway, so Shai manages to save her from being all kind of horrible, bleeding from the eyes, kind of what looks like glass sticking out of her heart and just general body horror-ish nonsense. And this means that she now knows. And I like that because you had some people going, oh, she's the superhero's best friend that knows their identity. And it's like, no, that's not what's going on here. It's more like Lois Lane knows Superman's identity.
Yeah, but that's the problem. Whenever Lois knows Superman's identity, you're like, oh, well, that's that plotline fucked.
I don't mind it, though, because it's nice because we can focus on their friendship and the fact that these two are clearly crushing on each other. And I like that they're not running around going, oh, I'm gay.
Can't they just wipe her memory and then sort of like,
no,
oh.
No. And I like it because all of the superheroes are cool with it because they have Aiko going with her into space, which is where all where the superheroes' headquarters are. So they're fine with her knowing this. They all
How does Aiko breathe in space?
Well, they're all able to breathe in space. So,
well, that's because they're superheroes.
Yeah.
Superheroes don't need no spacesuit. But, obviously, Aiko, normal.
Well, they let her breathe in space. Oh, and I forgot to mention...
How do they stop her being sucked into the vacuum with, like, her eyes popping out of her skull?
Because she is the only person... Bubble. She's the only person they know that has suffered a stigma attack that they can talk to. So she's helpful. She tells them how he works and everything, about how he draws out the darkness in people's hearts and makes them feel bad, like in her
Does
case...
Does he believe in a thing called love?
In her case, even, it was because her parents had died and she blames herself for their deaths. So that sort of thing. Oh yeah, and I forgot to mention that Teru has this amazing boozy mentor called Spirit. So she's this.
I have a feeling that I would end up playing the boozy mentor.
Yeah. So she is this bonkers Russian that is always completely plastered every single time she sees her.
Wait, hang on.
She's a lovely gal, but yeah, she is always...
I'm feeling seen here. Being part Russian / Ukrainian, it used to be one of the same thing.
Yeah, I love her. She's great. So it is a wonderful series that... I know it's a battle shonen, and admittedly, the battles are intense and can go on a bit long, to be honest, as is often the case in these stories. But it's also a real character study. Sherman,
you're like, oh, really? It's just like watching Rocky on an endless cycle, isn't it?
But in here, it is so important. Like, you help Shai rebuilding her confidence. I mean, there is the whole worrying situation where she has to fight Stardust and he basically pulverizes her. So it is like watching David Bowie beat up a teenage girl, which isn't nice.
Hang on, now we're thinking of The Hunger again.
Oh no, don't watch that bit in The Hunger. It's so disturbing.
Watch it. You've got to watch The Hunger.
But I feel like in the last episode where we talked about this, I really misjudged him and I feel bad for it because I don't think he's...
Stigma.
No, Stardust. I don't think he's anywhere near as sociopathic as he claims to be. It's more that people have just put that label on him and then he's decided to live up to it. Because when a friend of his apparently had a stigma attack as well, and he got round it by chopping their finger off. He was able to do it completely without flinching, because stigma puts these rings on you, and it's that way that it draws out the darkness of your heart. While Shai, of course, was like, oh, I don't want to hurt my friend. I mean, I've already hurt her enough already. Stardust is like, oh, never mind. And just chops their finger off because that's the sort of guy he is. And we just meet lots of other superheroes. Like, there, for instance, there's Pilz, who I misremembered as Klitz previously.
The chopping fingers off, though, isn't that like Yakuza reference?
Not with him, no, because it would just be him thinking, what is the most logical way of stopping my friends from being any further damaged by this attack? So it's sensible. I mean, he can't
make it so they can't go in swimming pools. Obvs.
Yeah, but again, he's the British superhero, so that wouldn't affect him, would it? So I assume he was doing it with a British friend. I don't know.
Doing it with
a... Not like that.
No.
And every single superhero has an issue which they manage to draw on to make their power, because the author of the manga has actually said that he created Teru because he believed if he was in a superhero story, that's the sort of person he would be. So Peppersha has her drinking problem. Pilz lost her legs in an accident when she was young.
One's legless, so's the other.
Oh no. Sorry. But either way, she has prosthetic limbs now, and she That was not Shrimpy San, it was Ruth's Watch. And who else is there?
That was Shrimpy San.
So Stardust obviously has his empathy problems that he's working on, because he's actually really good to Teru once he respects her. Like saying to her, at one point he's just sort of saying, what was it? You should never thank anybody else for your success. You did that yourself, or something along those lines, which is actually quite nice of him to say.
It's a little bit motivational book. Like, it's okay.
And there's...
to be okay.
What's his name? Yang Long, who is the Chinese superhero. And he has a bit of a complex because he is a very pretty boy to the extent that everybody always thinks he's a girl. So he's got a bit of a chip on his shoulder about that. And for some reason, his superpower is... Was it making people sleep? It was something like that. It's ages since I watched this. You learn to love and meet all of these people, and then you see the battle with Stigma, and he has some pretty freaky compatriots, because I've completely forgotten the name of their evil organization, to be honest. But the main people that we meet from that are Zveta and...
Zveta? Do they have a sweater?
So she is this woman... Actually, she's not a woman, is she? She's this child who has ice powers, and Peppersha is like, I'm sure I've seen her before. And there's also Kafufu, who is this madcap joker-like character who's basically...
Kafufu.
If you can imagine...
Kafufu sounds like when you break wind through your vagina.
but you know how you have Acme bombs and Acme mallets and so on? She's always bringing these out of her sleeves. Like, at one point she chucks an Acme bomb at Shai, who's like...
But at least she's not firing them out of anywhere. out of her kafufu.
Oh no. But this is what leads to the saddest and darkest chapter of the anime, which I can't help thinking went on slightly too long, but it was very effective. So basically, spoiler alert, it turns out that she, Sveta, is actually a reincarnation of Pepusha's dead mum. So you have the whole situation of having to fight and defeat your reincarnated mum. So
wow, that's a sobering thought.
So it's just, it is an absolute emotional roller coaster to go back to the roller coasters. I was crying almost constantly. I mean, it is resolved in an okay way, but when you just learn the whole backstory about Pepusha's family and about her mum bringing her up as a single mother and them not being able to eat and just how she died in the first place, it's just...
Where did she die?
Nobody's ever going to have to watch a show again, are they? At least,
well, you're a Rachel spoiler.
Yeah, when I'm spoiling them. So basically, she couldn't look after her anymore. Oh, don't start trimming your nails in the middle of the podcast.
I'm in pain. I'm not trimming my nails, I'm just digging them out.
So basically, she decided that she wasn't able to look after her anymore. So she decided that she should go to the orphanage that she was raised as a kid. And she thought, I'll get her a nice cake to as a kind of farewell gift.
See ya, you're going to be adopted.
Yeah, cake. But unfortunately, this homeless guy takes issue with her because I think she just didn't see him or something. And then he calls her sort of like a snobby bitch and then just basically pushes her into the freezing cold river and steals her cake. So, and she drowns. And so... obviously, the next thing that little Pepusha saw, like bearing in mind she's only like 10 or something, is obviously her mum having been pulled out of the river. So it is all very dark and bleak, and you see lots of memories of her and her mum when obviously her mum was still alive, and it's just heartbreaking. And this is the problem I've got with this.
I mean, the actual method of death I find a bit few, but... Yeah, the rest is actually
hard. Well, just the and her being able to finally say these things for her mum, because obviously she was a child when her mum died, so they were never able to speak to each other as adults. So she's now able to get some closure and speak to her and explain what happened and everything. And this is the trouble that I have. It's one of the few flaws of the anime where it does seem to go, these characters are more interesting than Teru. Let's just dwell on them for several chapters. Like, I like Teru, but... I do...
You mean Outlander.
Yeah, it's just like, I still think that if somebody is the lead, they should be the main focus. It shouldn't be, let's spend ages on this other person.
Except fan service.
And speaking of fan service, although in a gross way, I don't like how they've got these young girls wearing such skimpy outfits. Most of the time, it's fine. You barely notice it. But other times, it's like... This is a really uncomfortable angle to be looking at this girl from. Ugh.
What?
It's just, I don't, and she even makes a comment about it at one point, Teru, when she's, because what, bless her, Raiko takes her out for the day to say thank you for saving her. And she does say at one point, I really hate my costume. I wish I could wear something that was a bit less revealing. But I think those are like the only things I don't like about it, that I think that it spends too much time on other characters.
That'd be awful, like two superheroes. I'm like, does my butt look big?
Quite possibly. I don't know. And but unusually for a series like this, it has already been commissioned for a season 2.
Ooh.
And it's coming out in July 2024, because normally, oh, wow, you're lucky if you get like a new season like maybe 5-10 years down the line. So God, clearly somebody really likes this, and they did sort of have a good setup for the next season, because we met some more of Stigma's henches.
Is it just that the technology we use to make cartoons is getting faster? Whether that's using AI to create backgrounds and so on, or to fill the gaps in between moves.
I don't know.
Lip-syncing, etc.
I think it's probably more of a case of this is selling extremely well, so let's kind of jump on while it's still popular rather than people getting bored with it. And also, My Hero Academia is winding up in the next couple of years, so maybe they think that this is the next big thing. And it also brings in various groups that don't normally get anime. Like, there's a quite strong Yuri component with Teru and Aiko, and it takes in sort of like the whole magical girl genre as well, because it does feel more like magical girls than a traditional superhero story. Like, the way that they transform with their bracelets looks much more like a magical girl transformation than somebody just turning up in a costume.
Kind of She-Ra.
Yeah, exactly, that sort of thing. So
what did She-Ra say?
Oh,
did you have the whole I have the power?
I just remember that her horse was called Swift Wind, which sounds like a fart to me.
Farting horse.
And she was Princess Adora, wasn't she? Or something like that. I don't understand why they always had these silly made-up sounding names. Why couldn't she just be called Aurora? And I know it's because Adam was her brother, but still, yeah. It was just naff. The whole kind of twin convention naming. But I really like Shy. I think it's one of the best anime that I watched last year.
Yay.
I am looking forward to seeing what happens in the next season and how the story develops. And I'm intrigued to find out more about the other characters. And it is just nice having such a female focused series, because I love MHA, don't get me wrong, but the girl characters in there do feel very much just like they're just the token female characters.
I thought we'd do this to sell one Wobble Funko Pop head.
Yeah, like, so she's the best friend or the love interest. Well, it's pretty much just the lasses and Stardust and Mianlong in this. So,
okay.
I think it's great. So, scores on the doors.
Yeah.
I would give it... no, are we doing it out of four, not four. Are we doing it out of five?
If you want to do it out of four,
or are we doing it out of 10?
It's just that each point would then represent 2.5.
Right, okay. I am going to give it a 4 out of 5. So,
80% score.
So I think there is room for improvement, but I do really like it. I like the characters. I like the world. I absolutely love the intro.
This is something I don't get.
Right.
4 out of 5 for me is almost perfect. 5 is perfect.
I almost never give anything a 5. I'm very reluctant to give things 5.
So if there's like some work to be done, is that 3 or 4?
That's a 4.
Definitely a 4.
Yeah, that is a 4 in my mind. So glorious animation, music, intro. So I love it, and I'm thoroughly looking forward to seeing more of it. Speaking of superheroes, X-Men 97 is now showing.
Why is it called X-Men 97? Was it made in 1997?
It wasn't made in 97. I don't know whether it's kind of set in that era or what, but I'm going to give it a look anyway, because it shows all the famous X-Men characters. Because remember how the cartoon when we were younger, that which I remember as being kind of like the version of X-Men before they started making the movies.
Gonna show my age here.
Yeah.
There wasn't a cartoon when I was younger. So the one that you watched in about 1998, I was at uni by then.
I'm sure it was earlier than that. We're talking about the one that goes... Yeah, that one.
I remember watching that with my baby nephew.
Oh, God. This is when our age gap makes me go, ooh. And this is...
It's only 6 years.
This is why I really don't understand when you get... Because I remember when Wolverine was seen as being the old X-Man. Like, they were going to cast Danny...
He never looked old.
But, right? Yeah, but he was clearly much older than everybody else. So the idea of him being in a love triangle is bizarre. Like, they were going to cast...
Hey, don't be ageist.
They were going to cast Danny DeVito as him before they got Hugh Jackman in.
Hang on, wait.
Yeah, that was their casting.
Hey, that don't you go around with my, don't you go around trying to scratch my adamantium claws.
Yeah, it was Danny DeVito. So can you imagine?
The dad out of Matilda.
All of these women the going, ooh, Wolverine over Danny DeVito.
Ooh, Wolverine, hey, twits. Like that, huh?
Oh, dear.
Oh, God.
And I have to say, I mean, I hope it's got Kitty Pryde and Lockheed, my boy Lockheed, in, because I bloody love him.
Lockheed
is the alien who looks like a dragon. I think he was in one of the more recent films, but it was shit. So I was really happy to see he was in it, but the film itself got absolutely panned. So, but either way, and it's got Gambit, who I was never quite sure about. I just
see the one who was good at using a bow and arrow.
Wasn't he the guy in the cards? Either way, he was kind of like, hey, I'm French and sexy. And there was a panel of him doing the rounds on Twitter when he was like, Gambit is every man's gay awakening. Because he and Rogue do look like the nice bi couple next door. So I'm definitely going to be checking that out. And possibly She-Ra the reboot, because I know that it's made by the creator of Nimona, and I friggin' love Nimona, so that's definitely worth looking at. And
if they're going to make it deep and meaningful, I'm out.
Well, She-Ra and Catra get together. That's not a spoiler, so I'm certainly interested in that. But anyway, it strikes me we have gone rather too far down the superhero detour path. I mean, there's always Harley Quinn, I suppose, as well.
Why, Harley Quinn?
Because the
English... But not with the stupid jester outfit.
Well, it is with the stupid jester outfit. Oh, sorry. So she has the stupid jester outfit when she's with the Joker, but then when she leaves to become her own woman, she's more like Margot Robbie. Yeah. And in this incarnation, this is when you actually have her romance with Ivy, them meeting, falling in love, getting together, etc. So I want to watch that.
Who is hotter, Poison Ivy or Harley Quinn?
Depending
on who plays who.
I would say Ivy, but then I have a penchant for redheads, kind of.
Uma Thurman as Poison Ivy.
Although Margot Robbie in anything.
She's, yeah, Margot Robbie.
She's the only person that's ever made me fancy Barbie, so, you know.
No, I don't get it.
How can you not?
She just looks like the lasses I went to school with.
How did you concentrate on your GCSEs if you had loads of girls that look like that in your school?
Because that's not my type. I kind of like more of...
small, funny and furry.
Well, I was thinking more Nigella.
Anyhow, now that we're talking about people that we fancy, we definitely are not talking about Shy, so... So the next
Gina Gershon, of course.
The
next people we're going to fancy.
No, the next show we're going to discuss is going to be Love After World Domination. So until then, love you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. If you've enjoyed this podcast, don't forget to subscribe. And you can also follow us on social media. We are at TentaclesNot on Twitter. And on Facebook, our page is called Not Just Tentacles. Speak to you soon. Bye.